This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Like a bad sex
what?
Life, it came and it went. The deadline is now passed. If you're an Astros fan, is the acquisition of Liriano good enough for you? Where are you in your level of panic and displeasure for an Astros team that was rumored to be looking and shopping everything from starting pitching to bullpen help to closers? And it looks like at this time, unless there's something in the works that has been talked about and is being discussed, but they haven't dotted the I's and crossed the T's yet, gets done. It looks like the Astros have done nothing. Are you okay with that? With an hour to go in the show, San Diego keeps Brad Hand. It does look like it should get done for the Dodgers and Watson from Pittsburgh. Is that right, Watson?
Mm-hmm.
So that one looks like they are crossing the T's, dotting the I's. But other than that, not a whole lot.
Yeah, unless for and I guess we have to preface all of this by saying there could have been something that's happened or is in the works, like you said. It's not being leaked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So come 4 o'clock when this show ends, if you haven't heard anything, then it's probably not going to happen. But I preface what I'm about to say with that, and then say, you know what? I would have liked to have seen them do something to shore up the bullpen more than Liriano. They could have used a starter, but I'm okay with the pool that they have to choose from. At the end of the day, they hang on to a lot of their prospects. And when you think about how many of those pan out, it's maybe 20% become, you know, legit everyday starters. We'll find out if it was worth it. If they don't win a World Series, do you look back on this and second guess it? I don't think so. If this was a team that was in the hunt, then I think you have to be a little harder on the Astros and say you didn't do enough. But you're talking about one of the most prolific offenses in recent history. You're talking about a starting rotation has been banged up, but as far as ERA goes, they're still top five, top seven in the American League in ERA, and maybe even the majors for that matter. I'm not upset that they didn't go out and make a big splash because of where they are and what this team has done so far.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, there's a couple things here. One is, just because they didn't do something now doesn't mean that there's still time to do something later before you get into the playoffs, simply because there still is a waiver deadline coming where if a guy clears waivers and or you claim a guy off of waivers, you can make a deal with that team and still acquire talent. However, to your point about the regular season, look, what you have to remember is you don't, you know, like Sonny Gray skipping his start yesterday because whoever they traded him to, they wanted to make sure he was available right away. Verlander didn't do that, but the Astros don't need someone to start this week against the Rays and the Jays. They need someone that's going to be ready when the playoffs start. So obviously they're still going to work on getting McCullers right, and they're getting healthier from that perspective, and they still have a chance to get someone through the waiver transaction deadline still approaching. But is it disappointment? Yes, absolutely, because of the fact that you knew that there was so much hype and discussion leading up to this day, and you knew that they had prospects to dangle that people were interested in, and whether you were looking for a frontline starter or you were looking for a Britton or someone, you know, a closer or someone in the pen, yes, they made a move, but I don't think it was what anybody was expecting or wanting.
Yeah, and I will say this, because I know you keep mentioning the post-trade deadline waivers.
Right.
Those aren't going to be the deals usually where you're like, oh, this is the one. Yeah, you know, those are usually going to be players that either there's some sort of baggage. That's why teams aren't claiming them.
Big salaries.
Yeah, and yeah. It, like a Verlander, right? The Tigers are going to put Verlander through waivers, and he's going to clear it because I don't think anyone wants to touch that contract. But then when all's said and done, if people are desperate, then they may look at that and go, you know what? Yeah, we're willing to eat that salary, or maybe they work out a deal where the Tigers will pay him, you know, split the salary for the rest of the year, whatever it becomes. But whoever or whatever happens after this point, there's going to be a little bit of baggage. It's not necessarily going to be that Sonny Gray, that Garrett Cole.
Right, and you also run the risk of teams that are competing with you, you know, albeit the Indians or the Red Sox or the Yankees or teams like that can block these deals. Because if they make a claim when someone's trying to clear waivers so a deal can be made, teams can block the proceedings, which can slow the whole thing up too. But yeah, I mean, look, there's going to be some baggage, but yet you could still get a guy that could make a difference in the case of Verlander, or if the Rangers say, look, whatever happens with Darvish after free agency, we can put him out there and see if he clears waivers. And if he does, you know, we can try and get something for him. Pretty much, is it fair to say, with a pretty good chance of knowing that he's going to come back in free agency anyway? Because from what I've heard, he's extremely happy in Arlington.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, look what Aroldis Chapman did, right? He got traded. Right. He exactly liked being a Yankee, and he went back to being a Yankee after his World Series run with the Cubs. So, yeah, I think that's entirely possible that happens. Let's see, because Eric Resendez on Twitter, he said, I'm not happy at all. This just means the Indians or a team from the East will represent the American League. I think people, and it's, I get it. It's natural for Houstonians and Houston sports fans to do this, but I really think you're selling this team short.
By the way, the Indians aren't in the East.
I know, but he just said a team from the Yankees, whatever, Yankees, yeah. Red Sox, or yeah, not the Rays, but possibly the Rays. I don't know. But I think you're selling this Houston team short. You're forgetting what this team is doing offensively, that no one else is even close to what they're doing in the American League. Does Cleveland and Boston and the Yankees have the best staff? Yeah, they have three outstanding pitching staffs. But when you look at, you know, offense, the Yankees are the closest. Cleveland is a distant fourth. That offense of Cleveland, I don't think can. There's some outs in that lineup. When you look at this Houston lineup from top to bottom,
when healthy,
it's a tough out 1 through 9.
Well, and I'll say this too. I think that from a fan's perspective, and strictly speaking from a fan's perspective, I think a lot of the disappointment is twofold because of the fact that, sure, you wanted to see them try and really go for it, but more so than that, because they're seeing the Yankees and the Red Sox make moves. The Indians made a move. You're seeing teams that you know when the postseason starts, you're going to have to go through to get to where you want to go and ultimately try and win it all. And those teams are making moves. And in the National League, it's the same thing. You're seeing, you know, the teams that are on top making moves to try and go for it. And I think that's what's frustrating from a fan's perspective.
Yeah. The Astros have scored 609 runs. Cleveland, 504. The Astros have scored a full 105 more runs than the Cleveland Indians have and have played one more game. The Astros have played 104 games, Cleveland 103. I'm telling you, it's not even like the Yankees are second in the American League. They have 550. The Astros have scored 60 more runs than the Yankees, again, played in one more game. And they're number two. This team is doing some incredible things at the plate. Everyone's focused on the pitching, and rightfully so on the bullpen. I'm not worried about the starters as much. I'm really not. I know you guys are, but I'm not. It's the bullpen that scares me, but when healthy and on, Harris and Gregerson and Giles is good enough. It's good enough. Is it KC of a couple years ago? No. Is it Aroldis Chapman? Is it the Indians of let? No, it's not. But it's good enough with this offense and these starters. If they're on, it's good enough.
Look, I know the talent's there from the starting perspective. I'm not worried about the pen as much. Yes, Giles and Sip scare me. I think the Sip thing will be a little bit minimized by the trade for Liriano. I still worry about Giles from time to time. But my biggest thing is the starting rotation. And look, I know that the talent is there, but I don't like the question marks. I don't like worrying about the health of Dallas Keuchel. I don't like worrying about what's going on with Lance McCullers right now and why isn't he the Lance McCullers of the first half. And I don't like worrying about at any time McHugh could be McHugh with a dead arm instead of McHugh of the guy that, you know, has been a solid starter for you for the last couple of years. So, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, I understand the frustration of the fans to a certain degree. So we'll continue to talk about it. If you want to talk about the Astros and the trade deadline, give us a call or anything else that's on your mind. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can hit us up that way with a call or a text or hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
The
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects till 4, and the news...
Rich get richer.
Yeah. We said that there was the possibility that even after the deadline, if someone was working on a deal or teams working on a deal, that it could still go through, and it just did. Hugh Darvish leaving the Rangers and going to the Dodgers. The National League really stocked up when you think about what the Cubs were able to do, when you see what the Dodgers were able to do. The Nationals at least addressed their bullpen.
It's not even good how – it's not even close how good that Dodgers staff is already.
Mm-hmm.
Already.
And that's considering the injuries that they've had. The fact that Kershaw is out for another month.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a consensus out there that not many people were really happy about the potential possibility of Darvish coming to Houston anyway?
So Darvish isn't – he's not doing great, but I think he's one of those – it's kind of like Sonny Gray for me, right? Like you look at what he's doing this year and you're like, eh. But overall, as a pitcher, yeah, Hugh Darvish – he's an upper echelon pitcher. I just don't think he's having a great year necessarily, but it doesn't mean that he can't. When it happens a lot of times where you'll see a guy kind of scuffling through a season, then he gets traded, and in the back half of that year, he pitches like the old, you know, Yu Darvish, because that change of scenery helps. That makes a difference when you're playing for a winner and you know that the rest of the team is counting on you. The Rangers are so far out of it, Yu Darvish could go out there and blow up in an inning and a half, and no one's going to be like, dude, you let us down. What are they playing for? They're not, I mean, you know, yeah. I guess they're kind of in the wild card hunt.
But a change of scenery lately, can kind of be like Coco Loco to Barry.
Uh-oh.
I mean, a change of scenery can give you, and guys have talked about it over the years.
Make a handshake?
But like, you can be on a team like the Rangers, and all of a sudden you get in the middle of a pennant race, or you know you're on a proven, I mean, a team that's going to win and guaranteed to be in the playoffs, and it can jack you up, and you can be a whole new pitcher, player, whatever. And I think that you see that a lot of times. And that's why it's so interesting, because in baseball you can make deals so late that can really have an effect on the pennant race. And even having Phil Garner and what he said about, you know, every chance you get to acquire pitching because you just don't know. But, you know, you look at what we just talked about with the Cubs and the Dodgers, and then to a lesser degree the Nationals. But then you look at the other side of the equation and you look at all the moves the Yankees made. And you look at the fact that, you know, the Indians, not any big deals, right? The Red Sox made two moves as they tried to hold on to the American League East, and that's going to be a huge race going down the stretch, Yankees and Red Sox.
That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it really is. But again, I don't think before we got close to the trade deadline, you were thinking about the Astros having to worry or keep their eye on the Yankees. It was basically, hey, it's the Red Sox, the Indians, and the Astros. The Yankees are definitely in it, and they're a player now. And you didn't do anything as of now. So, and you watch teams around you make moves. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, you can't pass judgment on it right now. And it's just like we talked about in basketball with, you know, what roster they go to the playoffs with. But at the same time, it is a little disappointing.
Hey, real quick, McCullers back to the DL. McTaggart just tweeted.
Oh, well,
with the back issue.
Okay, so Lance McCullers is back, has acted up again. He's going back on the disabled list. So now the starting pitching really does continue to worry me.
Also, McTaggart tweeting that Aoki is disappointed to be traded to the Jays. Well, I guess so. I mean, you go from best team in the AL to the worst team in the East. Yeah, that kind of sucks a little. I did some math during the break. I like math. Math is fun. And I wanted to see, like, from a runs perspective, how is this Astros team doing compared to last year's leader in the majors? So last year, the team that scored the most runs was the Red Sox. They scored 878. And I think that surprises some people. Most people thought the Cubs had the most prolific offense. Actually, they were third. The Rockies were second with 845. Cubs were third with 808. If the Astros continue on the pace, they're almost scoring 6 runs a game. That would give them another 342 runs. So when you add the 609 that they already have, that would mean the Astros would score 951 runs this year. They're on pace for that. And when you look at the Red Sox leading the major leagues last year with the 878, that tells you how good this offense is. It's legit.
No, like, no question.
I think
about
people
it.
Again. And, I feel like I people are sleeping on it. They're
and
used
I don't.
To it.
You and I talk about it frequently enough to realize it and appreciate it. And I've said over and over again with teams that I've watched my whole life, when they get down 2 and 3 runs, I still have to get out of the habit of going, "Oh God, they're in big trouble." Because with the Astros, they're really not. Their offense is that good. But again, I keep going back to the fact that the playoffs are a different form of baseball, and it just seems to be lower scoring games. And I hope I'm wrong, but this is the kind of thing that you look at now and you're like, you're okay with.
The last time a team scored over 900 runs was 2009. The Yankees scored 915. They're on pace to do 950.
Did they win the World Series in 2009?
Who did win it in 2009?
I don't know. But if they did, then I'd feel better. Let me put it that way. Because I know, I believe in this Astros offensive lineup.
Well, it was an odd year, so it wasn't the Giants.
Good point.
Yep, New York Yankees.
Okay, so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
But so, at the same time, the Yankees always spend money to get pitching. I'm just saying, I'm okay with this for now, but this is one of those little kind of mark your calendar things where you got something to look back on now and blame if things don't go perfectly the rest of the way. If they don't end up winning at all.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know? They're going to. Yeah, there's going to be some blame. There's going to be some disappointment, but
this is comparable to the year that the Nationals were loaded and they shut down Strasburg. And everybody said, look, we're thinking about the long term. When you take an ace that was absolutely mowing people down and overwhelming people and said, yeah, we don't care. We get it. We're thinking about the long haul. Sat him down. They were eliminated early. And people were like, seriously?
I disagree, though. It's not necessarily the same, because in that case, you were worried about injury to a young superstar, a budding superstar, right?
That got hurt anyway later
on. In this case, what I think what people are probably failing to realize is that Jeff Luno was smart enough not to overpay, and that's probably the situation that he was in for a lot of these guys. I'll be interested to see what Yu Darvish got. What the Rangers got for Darvish to the Yankees, to the Dodgers. We know what the Yankees got for Sonny Gray. Not too bad. Not too bad, but we don't know what they were asking for from the Astros. But you did get two top 10 and a top 12 prospect from the Yankees. That's a pretty good haul. I tend to be more optimistic about it and say maybe Jeff Luno just didn't want to overpay, and that was what people were asking him to do, and he just thought, you know what, we've got enough weapons. So we don't
and
have
And it's possible.
To.
And I'm not trying to speak for what they were thinking or what was on the way or their thought process in going through this. I'm just saying, much like the Nationals decided to go for the long haul and then Strasburg ends up getting hurt anyway, I'd hate to think that you hung on to all these prospects thinking they're all going to be great.
And then you don't win.
And then you don't win it this year and you don't get those guys to perform like you thought they were going to perform. So,
yeah.
And there's still time, like I said. But yeah, am I disappointed? Personally, yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Nick, are you disappointed that they didn't make a big splash?
Nope.
Okay.
I think you made the best point because of the prolific offense, because they have so much to be happy for. And we were talking about it yesterday on game day about how this with this roster right now, they could win the World Series. I know there's been some additions, some losses like McCullers, but even McCullers hasn't been on a really good streak. So, yeah, just considering the offense alone, why not?
The McCullers news, though, on the surface, might be disappointing to you. Mm-hmm. That might actually be good news. Because
so there's a reason to blame something?
Yeah. If he hasn't been 100% since coming back and he hasn't been pitching like the Lance McCullers of the first half, and it's because he wasn't fully healthy, then that's good news. That's great, because you can get healthy before the playoffs and be the Lance McCullers pre All-Star break. I'll take that. Again, it's all about, you know, perspective here. If that's the reason, then that's great. That's great news that he's going back on the DL. So that's something else to consider.
I see your point. I mean, my big thing is that in a season that is loving this prolific offense, I was hoping that this was a chance to shore up whatever question marks you may have, you know, instead of having more question marks going down the stretch. You know you're going to be there. You know you're going to win the division. You know you've got a lot, you know, you got this prolific offense. But I was kind of hoping that this was, for if there were any little cracks, it was pitching-wise. And I was hoping this is my way of just, you know, getting reinforcements for that so that we don't have to sit there and worry about, hey, can McHugh stay healthy? Can McCullers get healthy now and find it? And can Keuchel avoid going on the DL for a third time? So,
So if you're just tuning in, McCullers to the DL. The Astros get Liriano and trade Nori Aoki and Teoscar Hernandez. And that is your Astros news at the trade deadline.
Yep. And Yu Darvish, a late trade to the Los Angeles Dodgers. So that's what we got baseball-wise. We've got about a half hour to go on the show before we turn it over to the Blitz. So if there's something on your mind or something you want to discuss, we definitely will get to it. Mark, I see you calling. We'll get to you in the next segment. And if anybody wants to join Mark, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You can call, you can text, and you can get through to us that way, or you can hit us on Twitter. We're the Usual Suspects. We'll be back with more on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects for about a half hour more. As the deadline is over, you guys want to talk about it. Lots going on. McCullers to the DL. Quote coming in from McCullers just now at Minute Maid Park, who said that in his thoughts about what happened at the trade deadline or didn't happen, the guys in the locker room firmly believe that they have a team that can bring a World Series to Houston in that locker room. So there's that. And Tyler Scott, our producer here at the station, making a great point with McCullers to the DL, Liriano back to the starting rotation just like that.
It's pretty funny, I don't think you need that.
I don't think so either.
No, I think it's more important to get him acclimated to being that lefty out of the bullpen. You've got Fires, you've got Morton, you've got McHugh, and you've got Peacock. You'll be all right there. I think you let him play that role, kind of like leaving Bregman at third and Gurriel at first, even though Correa went down. Let him get used to that role again. Now, I've got some bones to pick, and we're going to get to the callers. Colin, Mark, we see you, but I have to make a point here because I'm getting inundated with texts, which I'm sure these are aimed at me because I keep preaching about the prolific offense and how good the offense is. And several people have, these texts. Prolific offenses don't win in the postseason. Elite pitching does. Why talk prolific offenses? In the playoff, pitching wins championships. Let me start this by saying that I think you guys just regurgitate what you hear without doing any research and looking at actually what's happened in the past couple of years. In 2016, the Cubs averaged 3.8 runs a game. I'll give you that. Not a lot. So 4 runs a game to win the World Series. The last two games, they scored 9 runs and 8 runs. The last game of the World Series was 8-7 in 10 innings. There was 15 runs scored in Game 7 of the World Series. So talk to me about that prolific offenses. In fact, the runs in these games, there was one game where it was 1-0. Otherwise, 6-0, 5-1, 7-2, 3-2, 9-3, and 8-7. So talk to me about that elite pitching again. 2015, the average runs scored by the world champion Kansas City Royals, 5.4. The Astros are averaging 5.7, 5.8 runs a game right now. In 2014, the average runs scored by the Giants, 4.2. In 2009, the last team to score over 900 runs in a regular season, the New York Yankees. In the postseason, they averaged 5.5 runs a game to win the World Series. Right now, your Astros are averaging 5.9. So, again, I get it. That's the norm to think that pitching shuts it down. But do some research. Look at the numbers. Most teams in the last couple of years are averaging over 5 runs a game in the World Series, which is what your Astros are doing. So that's why I say prolific offenses can carry.
And there's other ways to look at that, too. You could say that the opponents they were playing didn't have enough quality pitching.
Okay.
I'm throwing things out there, right? I'm saying, okay, from the standpoint of experience, like playoff experience, mm-hmm. to have guys on this lineup, which you're looking at from an Astros perspective. I'm playing devil's advocate
right now.
But I'm saying, okay, look from an Astros perspective, from someone that's going to criticize and go, well, how many players do you have that have playoff experience?
Sure.
You know, they're going to say that as well. There's a lot of factors.
But that's why they went out and got these veterans like Brian McCann and Carlos Beltran and Reddick.
McCann for sure, yep.
You know what I mean? So that's why you have those guys. If you look at the pitching staff in 2009 when the Yankees won with that prolific offense, from an ERA perspective in the major leagues, they were 12th in the major leagues in ERA. They were giving up a 251 batting average against. The Phillies, who was their opponent, was 8th with a 416. Compare that to this year. The Astros are 10th in ERA at 4.15. Opponent's batting average is 2.37. Pitching, that stat. So the Astros staff right now, better than both of those teams in 2009.
In the regular season?
In the regular season. From an ERA and batting average against perspective. All right. So
you guys want to keep talking baseball, so let's get some calls in here. We appreciate you guys holding. Colin why don't you get in here first on Astros trade deadline?
Yes, sir. How are y'all? How are y'all today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I just wanted to pick y'all's brain about how the Liriano deal went down and why we didn't get Britton. What are y'all thoughts on that?
What were you saying? Why didn't they get Britton?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know because I'm not in
all the pieces.
Yeah, I don't know because I'm not in the clubhouse, but my guess is, Colin, that they didn't get Britton because they didn't want to overpay, or right. They felt like the asking price was too high, which was probably being driven up by the market, right? There were several people going after Zach Britton from the Orioles, so I imagine that was driving up the price to a point where Jeff Luhnow, who came out and said, we're not going to overpay for anyone this year. And I have a feeling that everyone having a need that he decided that it was too much.
And the other thing, we cited several reports from several credible Major League Baseball sources that said the Orioles are asking for something to the like of a king's ransom, but they're not going to give him up unless they get a big haul in return, and the owner would not approve it if he didn't feel like they got a big haul in return, which is definitely going to slow the process down.
Yep.
And my guess would be is that, their asking price for Britton for us would have been Fisher, Martez, which I'm fine with that. That's a great deal. And maybe throw in some cash and international money. That's, you got a deal right there. But maybe they were wanting Fisher, Tucker, Martez, and maybe a Perez. And that's just way too much. That's basically our whole farm system. Look back at 05 and 04 when we threw our whole farm system out. And then look what we've done for the past 10 years. So 2015, you know, it hurt us pretty bad.
That's right.
Appreciate the call, Colin. Thanks a lot, man. Mark, you're up next. What you want to talk about?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
So first of all, you know, I want to say I'm a little disappointed, you know, that the Astros didn't pull through on certain trades. But, you know, obviously it's one of those things where, you know, I understand not overpaying. And not doing certain things, but it's a special year, you know. I know everybody keeps saying it's a special year, you know, and I hope it is, you know, because it still can be. But it's one of those things where, like, for example, like the Sonny Gray deal to the Yankees, it could. I'm just going to make this comparison, you know, just out of whatever. It's like if you have like a millionaire and a billionaire bidding on a car, and they both end up at the same price. You're going to, you know, then, you know, you try to get a little extra from the billionaire because obviously he knows he has a little bit more to offer, you know, as far as capital. You know, the Astros farm system has been the top five farm system for I don't know how long now. So maybe the Athletics felt like they could have grabbed maybe an extra prospect from the Astros and they just weren't willing to. And then the fact of the matter is that, you know, they're the same division. So if I'm going to get the same, obviously the right around the same amount of prospects from these two teams, why would I give it to the rival in my division when I can give it to another team that's not in my division that I don't have to worry about them later, you know?
That's a great point.
No, we talked about it too, Mark. I mean, look, you have to have a lot of extra motivation if you want to try and help not only someone in your division, but someone that's become a rival like the Rangers have to the Astros. And the Rangers darn well know that they got a really better-than-average chance of bringing Darvish back at the end of the year, but you know, if they're going to help teams or try and get some prospects back, unless someone really knocks their socks off and the Astros really kind of up the ante, they're probably going to hold off on dealing with the Astros and take comparable prospects from somebody else. So great call, great comments, and we'll continue to roll on. If you guys wanted to get in on the conversation, we got one segment left before we turn it over to the Blitz. I believe it's Fred along with Jerome Solomon today on the second week of the AJ vacation.
Rome in the house! I say Jerome and house.
And then there's that.
That's Martin.
So,
that's
we, Martin.
You want to get with a winner, you got to drop that chicken dinner. Because I'm the original player from the Himalayas.
All right, I'm done.
Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Let me through, there's nothing you can do. You need my love and don't you know it's true.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one segment left. Usual suspects before we turn it over to the Blitz as we continue to roll on and see that social media is on fire with people not happy about your Stros. But again, we're trying to tell you to just kind of pad the brakes. The team still has the best record in the American League and a on pace to be record-setting offense. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that is fair to say. Like I said, if they keep this up, 950, still 40-some-odd better than the 2009 World Series champion Yankees. And I didn't go a bit back any further than that. I was just looking for the last team to score over 900 runs. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't happen often.
Can I read a couple text messages?
Well, hell yes.
I took the liberty of jumping back on the text line to make sure it's being policed properly.
Okay.
So here's one from the... from the 832. Barry would spend his money on hookers and blow. That came from 832. Here's one from the 832 as well. Joel, did Barry just say that? Hashtag stop stealing comments. Are you thieving, Joel?
Oh, see, thieving? I didn't read that. That's in your face. I didn't even
Joel
see
missed
that.
The chance to say AI was MIA. Come on, Joel.
One. I read that one.
My bad.
Yeah.
And no one breaks 30-minute-old news like Joel Blank. So all those texts came
from
the
HRMP
hotline. Because it's 347, player, and you haven't read your hate text or anybody else's.
I got one. Are we going to read how everyone...
whenever you guys get into it, I pay the price, which is what I love.
Are we going to read about how everyone is flocking to the text lines to say that my Jerome voice was amazing?
No, we're not going to.
Read those?
We're going to leave those out.
Barry's the first white guy I've ever heard do a Jerome impression. I want to say thank you. That was hilarious. Well, you know, I'm a man of the people. All right, serious business. Somebody said, do you think the Astros will still break the single season win record? No.
No.
Too many injuries going on.
And the injuries are paying the price. That Saturday night game is just a perfect example of a game where if they were healthy with the bullpen that they have, they put that game away with a two-run lead. Instead, they give up three and they lose late to the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are games that I think that, you know, when the Mariners were doing what they were doing in that magical season, they stayed healthy and they were able to win games like that.
That's the big fear. I'm over here pounding my chest talking about prolific offenses. If this offense slumps now, oh boy, that's going to get ugly because that's what's carrying you. That's offense, you know, hitting is going to slump a lot more and a lot more often than pitching will. Because it's a weird deal in baseball, but usually you can rely, you know, your pitching will kind of keep you in things most of the time, but your offense will go in spurts. And for the most part, they've done pretty well this year, but, if they really go into a prolonged slump heading into the postseason, that's going to be scary. And then I'm with you. They should have done something, but right now,
it's not pressing right now because there's still chances to do things. But this is one of those where you put the little check mark on the date and go, yeah, looking back on
we'll see.
If they do fail, this is the first thing that the doubters and naysayers are going to go, well, that's because they didn't do anything at the trade deadline.
If they do, at me, bro. I don't care. You guys can at me all you want. By the way, Brian McTaggart tweeting out the lineup for tonight's game. Fisher leading off and playing right field. Carlos Beltran playing left field. And he also made the point to point out that Brad Peacock is listed as a starter, not in the bullpen. So there's your replacement for Lance McCullers, Brad Peacock. And I'm good with that.
I am too, because look, what he's done over the course of the season has given you nothing to worry about. I mean, he's the reason why people have basically been able to gloat over how great this team has been, because through all the injuries that they've had to the rotation, Brad Peacock has been a consistent and very solid starter for this ball club.
Yep.
You want to talk about, we were talking, just to put a bow on it, that what the Rangers got in return for Yu Darvish?
Yeah.
The research?
Yeah, you said it was Willie Calhoun, AJ Alexiou, and Brandon Davis. They gave up their fourth best prospect, their 17th, and their 27th. So what they really gave up is their fourth best prospect, who was a second baseman and an outfielder, and then a right-handed pitcher and an infielder. What it looks like is you would have had to give up two top 25 prospects and a top five prospects to get a rental in Yu Darvish for a couple months.
Yeah, that's the key. It's a rental, and the Dodgers have been known to overpay, and they don't care.
Don't care.
And the other thing is they're going to be competitive trying to overpay to sign Darvish simply because, as we were talking about in the break, unlike in the NBA where everybody shares the wealth for the success that they have internationally, major league teams can, like I said, and I think we talked about it one day on the show, like the Mariners did with Ichiro. When you can control the television rights internationally and you've got some pretty big name players that will make a huge hit in the Asian market, You can capitalize on being able to overpay and keep Yu Darvish, and then they get a quality starter.
Yeah. Somebody texted said, not trying to hate, but I don't understand why you guys are okay with them not getting someone like Gray, especially seeing what the Yankees gave up to get him. First of all, I'll go on record, and I've been on record all year, saying I'm not a big fan of Sonny Gray. Now, if he pitches great, that's fantastic, but I've not been a huge Sonny Gray guy. So to me, them not going and getting him doesn't mean a lot to me personally. I'm okay with that. Did the Yankees get a good deal on Sonny Gray? They gave up, what do we say, two top 10s and a 12 in their farm system? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, that's not bad, but that's still a lot. You're two of your 10 best prospects across your entire farm system to get a Sonny Gray. Who's probably, what, a two or a three over there?
Well, here's the thing, too. Think about how long it took to rebuild your farm system, too, right? You don't want to just be being forced into that situation because you're overpaying. You're not in the position of some of these other teams, and you just got back to where you have one of the better farm systems in baseball, unless it's really going to be impactful. And like you and I both said, I think if we had our druthers of all the people from the start of this process till now that we thought this team should have been, it would have been Gerrit Cole.
Yep. And then I'll read this hate text because Nick's patrolling the line. Playoffs different than regular season, you clowns. Now I hope they get beat in the first round so you fools can try to retract your awful takes.
I mentioned that 30 minutes ago, but I didn't want to break it late.
All right, you clown. You obviously weren't listening last segment when I ran through the numbers and proved to you that offense in the postseason over the last 5 years has held up. Clown. So what do you want me to tell you? Three of the last four World Series teams have averaged 4.5 or more runs a game on their way to winning a World Series. Clown.
For Clarabelle, Tinkerbell, and Bozo, we wrap up another day of
sweet life you got, texter guy.
Here on The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere because the Blitz is next, and Nick, Barry, and I will be back all week at the regular time slot. Join us, won't you? 1 to 4 p.m. daily, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Have a good night, everybody.